Here they come. Turn four. Final lap.
Live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Rev up your engines and get ready for the racing weekend.
Here they come. Checkered flag.
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Let's do it. Let's chase some checkers. Welcome in ESPN 102.5, the game, streaming all around the world on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. I am your host, Chase McCabe, here each and every Saturday morning at 9, talking racing, NASCAR, IndyCar, coming to our city. You're going to hear a lot of it here on these airwaves. We got a big show planned for you today. Speaking of NASCAR coming to our city, the president of the Nashville Super Speedway, Eric Moses, is going to join us at 9:15. We'll talk to Regan Smith, NASCAR on Fox, pit reporter and analyst, driver as well. He will join us at the bottom of the hour as we get you ready for the Dixie Vodka 400 at the Homestead Miami Speedway. Going to be a lot of fun this weekend, but we got to stay in Florida, look back a week, because they spent a couple of weeks at the Daytona International Speedway. Of course, the Daytona 500 on Valentine's Day, and then they stuck around and ran the road course the next week. And we talked about it. I told you, well, Chase Elliott, he's the favorite. He is the big-time favorite to win that race, and he was going for his sixth road course victory, which if you think about just, you know, how short his career has been so far, he hadn't been around all that long. The fact that he's already gotten to six. Now, granted, they have more road courses. They've run the Roval the last few years. This is the second year that they've run the Daytona road course, and he's going to have six more chances this year with the return to Watkins Glen and Sonoma. The Roval, of course, they'll go to COTA, the Circuit of the Americas, and Road America. I don't think I left one out. But they've added seven total to the schedule, so he's going to have more chances. But he was going for his sixth road course victory. He already has those five wins, and that ties him for seventh on the all-time list of road course wins with Dan Gurney, Darrell Waltrip, and the late, great Tim Richmond as well. So, and he goes in and he dominates. That's exactly what everybody thought he was going to do. 44 laps led, and yet, as they say, you got to run all the laps. 21st place finish. He got run off track. There were some miscues. You know, he was back in the field after pit stops and just couldn't get back up there and spun out and all those things. And, you know, it's just that's the way it is. Now, he looked dominant. And that's 2 weeks in a row that Chase Elliott, everybody's looked at the defending champion and gone, watch out for the 9 car. Watch out for Hendrick. But watch out for the 9 car. And I think that Chase Elliott's run last week, even though the finish doesn't tell the whole story, you have to you're going to have to watch out for Chase Elliott this year. He did talk to Fox Sports after the race, and it was just a missed chance.
Yeah, just, you know, when you have those late race cautions like that, and you have a mixed bag of who stays and who goes, it's a bit of a gamble either way, I felt like. So I thought tires was the right move. Tires won the race, so I think it was the right move. But you get back in traffic, and it just gets to be so chaotic. And then just depending upon who gets through and who doesn't kind of determines how it's going to shake out. So, yeah, I hate it. You know, hate too many mistakes. And, yeah, went off track and just bad deal. We had a fast Napa Chevy, and I appreciate the effort. I hate it for Corey. He ran me off there, so I thought he was going to take the lane again, and so I went to cross him over, and I think that time he was actually going to give me the lane. So go figure, but try again next week.
Chase Elliott on his 21st place finish, and you can hear the disappointment in his voice. Now, he doesn't show a ton of emotion. And when we hear from Regan Smith in a little bit, I talked to him earlier in the week, and Regan was teammates with Chase Elliott back at Junior Motorsports. He'll talk on that a little bit more, but certainly disappointed because He was the most dominant car. I mean, like I said, he led 44 laps of the 70. And everybody had picked him to win. He's going to be picked to win more of these races. And he's showing his versatility as he just gets stronger and stronger in his career. So they'll bounce back, that is for sure. Look for him to bounce back and be in the mix this weekend. But those are the breaks. So that leads us to the guy that ends up winning, Christopher Bell. Now, for those of you that are hardcore NASCAR fans like me, this is a name that you've heard. This is a name that you know from what he's done in the other series. 26 years old. He was a rookie last year, ran for Levine Family Racing, which was getting all their cars and setups and everything from Joe Gibbs Racing. So it was kind of like the unofficial fifth team, similar to what Furniture Row was and all of that. So he was in good stuff, but not the best. Now he's in the best. He's in the 20 car. He's in the home shop. He's in Joe Gibbs Racing. But in his career, 16 Xfinity Series wins, 8 of those coming in 2019, 7 Truck Series wins. He led 5 laps, but the only one that matters is the last one. And he led that one, made a great move to chase down Joey Logano, get around Joey Logano, and ultimately take the checkered flag. The kid knows how to drive, and I'm very excited. He's one that I've been very excited about, but I'm even more excited now that he's got his first win, and I didn't think it would come in the second race of the season. You know, I thought that, you know, a place like Homestead or, you know, even Bristol Dirt, you know, that's where you kind of watch out for him. But even later on in the year that he's with Adam Stevens now, he's got a new crew chief, and they got to get chemistry going. The team's got to get chemistry going. I mean, that's where it's really going to improve for him, because he's gone from, yes, he had Gibbs prepared cars, but now he's got the crew. He's got the top of the line pit crew. And then, of course, Adam Stevens is his crew chief, who had 28 wins with Kyle Busch. And they split after last year, comes over to the 20 team, their second race together, and now Adam Stevens has his 29th career win, his first without Kyle Busch. So I think that's going to be a very, very good relationship. And Christopher Bell, this is just the beginning. You know, some guys, it takes a while to get their first win. Chase Elliott, it took a long time to get his first win, and then boom, here they all come. Christopher Bell kind of fits the Gordon Stewart way of doing things. Rookie year, learning curve, get through that, and then the second year, the first win comes, and watch out. He's going to be fun to watch. He's very, very, very talented, and in some of the best equipment, of course, in NASCAR. He caught up with Regan Smith after the race and talked about his first win.
I don't know, man. This is definitely one of the highlights of my life so far. So just so incredibly thankful to be here at Joe Gibbs Racing, man, and all of our partners at Ream, DeWalt, Pristine Auction, Toyota, TRD. Thank you to Jack Irving, Tyler Gibbs. You guys believed in me since day one. So this is, I don't know, man. This is, I feels like, I've prepared my whole life for this moment to race in the Cup Series. And, you know, last year was a huge learning curve for me. And I'm very grateful that I got the opportunity to run in Cup, and it definitely prepared me to move to Joe Gibbs Racing.
You got by Kurt Busch with about 5 to go there. It was a pretty big gap, about 3.5 seconds. Did you think you had enough to catch up to Joey?
No, I really didn't. Whenever we pitted and then we came out, I liked where I lined up, but then the yellows kept coming, and I thought the yellows were hurting me because I felt like I needed laps to get up through there. So honestly, I didn't think I was going to get there. Adam on the pit box kept telling me that I was going to get there, and I didn't believe it. But yeah, I don't know. He really struggled. I think coming out of 6th one time and allowed me to close the gap. And I just wish my wife was here to celebrate with me.
Christopher Bell with Regan Smith of Fox Sports, his first career Cup Series win, and you heard it there. He did have to work his way up there. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, they restart and he takes the lead. I mean, he had to earn it. Had to get around Kurt Busch, had to get around Joey Logano. But he does that. He is a first-time winner. And it is the first time since 1949 and 1950 So the first 2 years that NASCAR has existed, that two first-time winners won the first two races. Michael McDowell, of course, winning at the 500, and then Christopher Bell winning at the road course. So that's pretty cool. Over 70 years. And that's also the last time that three first-time winners won in a row. NASCAR's first year, they actually had five. They started the year with five first-time winners. And you may go, well, it's the first year. Yeah, some of these guys have been racing and still won. So pretty cool that he's now a part of history as he gets his first win. It was a nice bounce back for Joey Logano coming home in the second spot. Logano looked like he had a pretty good piece as well, led 10 laps. He talked to Fox Sports about his second-place run.
Well, the tires, I mean, he's the one that got through with tires. I was, one more caution lap would have been enough to at least have a door-to-door finish across the line, maybe, I don't know. But it's hard when he starts catching you a second a lap. I just trying to get all I could. And that restart, trying to get out there as far as I could, because I knew as soon as those guys with tires were going to catch us really quick. But we've made gains with our Shell Penske Mustang on road courses. We're not quite good enough yet. As you can tell, our long run speed's off. We got to keep working to get that better, but we maximized the day. I hate being that close, but congratulations to Christopher. It's his first win, and I know that means a lot. It's always a special one, so I'm happy for him, but not so happy for myself at the moment.
The old driver of the number 20 congratulates the new driver of the number 20. Of course, Joey Logano breaking into the Cup Series with Joe Gibbs Racing, replacing Tony Stewart in that 20 car. So Christopher Bell gets the win. Joey Logano second. Denny Hamlin, Joe Gibbs' teammate, comes home third. Kurt Busch with a nice run in fourth. Brad Keselowski rebounds after the 500 with a fifth-place finish. Kevin Harvick comes home sixth. A.J. Allmendinger running a one-off in this road course race. A road course ringer comes home seventh. The Daytona 500 champion, Michael McDowell, with a top 10, coming home eighth. Ryan Preece with another strong run in ninth. And Alex Bowman in the 48 rounds out the top 10. Before we get to Eric Moses, I do want to talk about the Xfinity Series winner, because this was so cool to see Ty Gibbs, young Ty Gibbs, 18 years old. He looks like a baby, because he is. His first National Series race, so his first Truck Series, Xfinity Series, Cup Series, the three National Series. He's an ARCA guy. He's just breaking in. He's the grandson of Joe Gibbs, the owner of Joe Gibbs Racing. So he was wheeling that 54 Monster Energy Toyota in the Xfinity race. He won. Very emotional, very cool moment at the end of that race.
You know, I just can't thank anybody or everybody right now. It just really, this is like a dream come true to me. So, you know, this is awesome. I can't do burnouts. That's one thing I cannot do at all. But, I just can't thank everybody. This is a dream come true to me. You know, I really didn't think I had it there, and kind of fought back, and we won. Just thank you to Monster Energy and everybody. This is, I don't even know what's going on.
Ty, what do you have to say about your dad, your grandfather, who was just watching on, that said this is one of the biggest moments in his career? What do you have to say to your family?
You know, the family is everything to me. You know, they do so much for me, and, you know, I just can't thank them enough. And just, this is just amazing. This is a dream come true. You know, it's all the man above, and I'm sorry I'm a wreck. I didn't even think this was going to happen at all. So, you know, this is awesome. I can't thank everybody watching, and, you know, and last week I had a terrible interview, and I just want to apologize for everybody. And I just can't thank everybody enough. It's just amazing.
Ty Gibbs. Oh, man, so cool. And watching, they had the camera on Joe, the closing laps, and, you know, proud grandfather, car owner. You know, he's got a lot of emotion going through his head. Ty's dad is Coy Gibbs, who, of course, ran some of the Busch Series back in the day. So very, very cool. Wanted to play that. That shows you how real this is and the raw emotion of a young man getting his first Xfinity Series win in his first Xfinity Series race, only the sixth time that that has happened. Joining the likes of Dale Earnhardt, pretty good company to be in as well. When we come back, speaking of racing and National Series, there's going to be three big races Father's Day weekend out at the Nashville Super Speedway. We will talk to the president, Eric Moses, next on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Back here Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game on the Game Nashville app as well, and GameNashville.com. Cannot wait for Father's Day weekend. And no, I am not a father, but it's because NASCAR is coming back to our city at the Nashville Super Speedway for the Ally 400 weekend. Of course, the Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and the Cup Series on June 20th will be at the Nashville Super Speedway. And we say hello to the president of that fine racetrack. Eric Moses is here with us. Eric, how you doing?
I'm good, my friend. How are you?
I'm fired up because I have in my notes here, we are 113 days away from the Ally 400.
Yeah, but who's counting, Chase? Who's counting?
We all are, and that's okay. That's how we should be doing it. So excited to talk about how the racetrack is coming along. But I wanted to start with this because as we wrap up February, you know, it's Black History Month, and you are an African-American president of a NASCAR track, the first in that position, and I know that that's been really cool for you to have that. So what have you seen so far about NASCAR, a sport that, you know, historically maybe hasn't had all the right things looked at them from that standpoint? And now to have you in your position, Bubba Wallace and his impact in the Cup Series and what he's been able to do, how cool has it been to be a part of this?
Well, I think it's always great when you can be part of a movement for an organization that is, in my opinion, kind of doing the right thing. Not only doing the right thing from kind of a moral, social standpoint, but for the sport, from a business standpoint, and looking to expand our fan base and to introduce this fantastic sport to as many people as will be interested and feel welcome to experience it. And I think NASCAR is to be commended for what they've done over the last year and a half, 2 years, in opening up the sport to other people who may not have historically engaged or thought it would be okay for them to engage in this sport.
Yeah, what I think is so cool is you've seen guys like Bernard Pollard, who played in the NFL, and Alvin Kamara become fans, and not only become fans, but embrace the sport and try and build the sport and do what they can to get more fans, and you know, doesn't matter their race, just get everybody involved. I think that that's really cool how the sport has opened their arms, and I see Bernard's tweets all the time, all excited about his Ally 400 gear at the Nashville Super Speedway. I think that's really neat.
Yeah, you know, I liken it to just about anything else. I mean, if you're a big sports fan or you like a particular movie or television show or record, what do you want but more people to like that same thing that you feel so passionately about, right? So I want as many people coming into our sport so we have more people to talk about it, to argue about it, mm-hmm. you know, to watch together, to enjoy it. And I think you see that across the board. So I'm hoping that, you know, core and traditional NASCAR fans who have grown up watching this sport for years and years and years and years won't feel neglected, won't feel like they're being abandoned or taken for granted, because that is not the case at all. But we just want to have more people for them to love this sport with.
Something that's going to be neat when they come to town is you're going to have 2311 Racing, Bubba Wallace driving that car for Denny Hamlin and the GOAT, Michael Jordan, as a kid that grew up in the 90s watching the Bulls, all about having Michael Jordan as a team owner in NASCAR. And I think it's just the beginning of getting, you know, even bigger names and more team owners. But how cool is it to have MJ involved in motorsports?
I think it's fantastic because of his notoriety in one particular sport, and frankly being one of the most famous people on the planet. Having him decide to spend his own money in our sport, and now as we're all finding out, this is not just a business move for him. He loves NASCAR. He grew up going to races with his family. I mean, this is something that he knows, understands, and enjoys. And so I think having someone who is so well-regarded and so looked up to by so many people showing his passion for our sport will only help to introduce it to more people.
We're talking to Eric Moses, the president of the Nashville Super Speedway. June 18th through the 20th will be the NASCAR return to our city. as the Camping World Truck Series will race on Friday, Xfinity Series on Saturday, and then, of course, the Ally 400, the Cup Series race on Father's Day on Sunday at 2:30. How are things coming along at the racetrack? How's she looking, and how close are you being ready to put cars on that baby?
She's looking good. We still got some work to do, as I've told you before. I mean, 10 years is a long time to go without operations, and so we are in there working with our partners at NASCAR Design and Development to get her up to speed and looking good and hopefully meeting and exceeding the expectations of our fans when we welcome them in to the venue on Father's Day weekend. But things are moving well. I think we will, you know, be pushing into the spring, obviously, and getting things done and up to snuff. But we're feeling really good about it. We've probably got a tire test going on next month in March so that we can make certain that Goodyear and the folks at NASCAR have us all ready for some great competition Father's Day weekend.
If you need me to come run some laps, I'm happy to help. You always know that.
Man, you beat me to the punch. I was just going to ask you.
The cool thing about that race weekend is even though the Xfinity race and the Cup race are going to be in the afternoon, you know, some of my favorite memories out at Nashville Super Speedway are the night races, because I love night races. You know, just there's something different about running under the lights. The trucks are going to do that Friday night with a 7 o'clock start. Going to be cool to see that place lit up again.
I think it is. And you know, one of the things that I've said to some friends and folks that I've been meeting since I've been here in Middle Tennessee is, hey, look, if you're not a traditional fan, you haven't been out or what have you, you want to dip your toe in the water, coming out Friday night for a truck race and having that experience, coming out Saturday for our Xfinity race, those are good ways to start to become familiar with and catch the bug for our sport. And so I'm encouraging people who want to say, hey, maybe I'll give this a try, or I just want to be there with this track reopening after 10 years. If you don't think you want to come on Sunday, which you should, come out Friday and Saturday. It's going to be a good show all 3 days.
Now, people have I have friends that have told me I've already gotten my tickets for all 3 days, so they're ready to go. And then there's some that, like you said, that they're just not sure yet. They're dipping their toe in the water. And they're saying, well, so is this a one-year thing? Are they just coming back for this year? The answer to that is no. This is just the beginning.
Yeah, you don't spend the type of money and then make the types of investments that we're making to upgrade and renovate the facility for 1 year. And we have the fortunate distinction of having a 4-year sanctioning agreement with NASCAR, which means that at a minimum, and I do mean minimum, at a minimum we will have a Cup Series race here for 4 years, and as you would imagine, my job is to make certain that we have a Cup Series racing at the Nashville Super Speedway indefinitely.
So if people have not gotten their tickets yet, how can they go about doing that?
NashvilleSuperspeedway.com is the best way, or 1-866-RACETIX. Either of those ways, we will help you get situated for the weekend and to come out and join us. It is almost unbelievable to think that you have not had Cup Series racing in Middle Tennessee for almost 40 years. Mm. And so we are honored and privileged to be able to bring it back to this market that loves NASCAR so much, and we want as many people as possible to pack the stands to show the country how Nashville does NASCAR.
Now, I think the last time you were on with us, this probably came up, but I know you get asked this. I get asked this. The trophy has always been something very special that the drivers have gone after, and that is a guitar. I don't know if you're ready to announce anything of what the trophy is going to be, but I'm just saying I hope that we get a little history of racing in Nashville, and hopefully that comes about.
Well, I think people will be very pleased with our trophy. You know, we are leaning into, as folks would imagine, our Nashville, you know, home, and the themes that are familiar with Nashville as a home. So I think folks will be pleased. The key for us, Chase, is to figure out how do we kind of honor the past while not being captive to it, and make certain that we're presenting something that's new, that's innovative for people who maybe haven't been out to the track like you have. And so we're going to try to balance those things out as we continue to grow and establish ourselves here in the marketplace.
Yeah, and I love it. And I told you before when you were on, the logo is awesome. You know, that has the silhouette of the track and the headstock, and just is very Nashville. So you were definitely you're definitely doing that. Hey, it's good to talk to you as always, my friend. Thanks for taking some time out of your Saturday to jump on here. We'll do this many more times before Father's Day weekend and the Ally 400 weekend.
Looking forward to it, man. I hope to get you out to the track real soon.
Absolutely. I would love it. Eric Moses, he is the president of the Nashville Super Speedway. Again, you can go to NashvilleSuperspeedway.com for tickets. They are on sale now, June 18th through the 20th, as the Camping World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, they return to the Nashville Super Speedway, but the Cup Series makes its debut June 20th with the Ally 400. When we come back, we'll talk to Regan Smith. He is a pit reporter and analyst for Fox NASCAR. We'll talk about the Daytona Road Course, the season so far, and, of course, racing at Homestead, Miami. We'll do that next on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Welcome back in Chasing Checkers, 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe hanging out with you as always, and pleased to be joined by Regan Smith of Fox Sports, of NASCAR on Fox. You can see him on the pit lane as a pit reporter. He's a driver, analyst. He does it all. Regan, how's it going?
Jack of all trades, master of none. Just call it what it is.
I think you're a master
of
a lot of
those. How are you?
Doing
well.
Doing fantastic, and it's good to have the NASCAR season underway. And after a very weird 2020, 2021, while not normal, don't have full grandstands and all of that like we're used to, saw some pretty good racing at Daytona for the last few weeks. So I know that that had to be fun for you to be back there watching them in the Daytona 500 on the Super Speedway, and then the road course last weekend that produced two first-time winners.
You know, we've seen just some amazing action already, like you said, and you know, I think when it's all said and done and we leave Daytona, now all of a sudden we're sitting here with not only two first-time winners. You know, I think a lot of people expect Christopher Bell to be in a good position this year and to have a shot to win races and to most likely make the playoffs. I don't know that we expected it to happen on week two of the season at the road course. I think that would probably be the last place we would have bet on that happening. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a good start to the year. It's been cool to see fans in the stands. I know it's not a lot, but to at least have some fans in the stands for the Daytona 500, there was campers in the infield. People were enjoying themselves and you know, some sense of normalcy again, which none of us have seen in like a year now. So that was really cool.
I want to start with Michael McDowell because, you know, he's been around for a long time and, you know, he doesn't run for one of the big teams at Front Row Motorsport. You know, they have multiple cars, but, you know, they're not RCR or Joe Gibbs or Hendrick or things like that. And you know what that's like. You ran in the early days of Furniture Row and you have to use the resources to the best of your ability, but goes into Daytona. He's always pretty good on those super speedways, and he wins the biggest race of the year. What can that do for a team like Front Row to have just that win, but the signature win?
Well, it can do a number of things. I mean, I guess on the surface, the first thing you would say is, okay, it's a lot of money, right? Like money buys speed. Yeah. No matter what, for the history of motorsports, money will buy speed and it'll buy faster race cars. So there's the first hitter for him that definitely helps out. The next thing is when you win a race that's that big, and to your point, that's of that magnitude, you get notoriety, and you get notoriety beyond just the, you know, the walls of the sport of NASCAR and the people that know the sport inside and out. You get notoriety in other places. You do the media tours. Every newspaper on Monday morning has your race car on it. Their sponsor of that race was Love's Travel Stops. Well, Love's, the amount of exposure they got, I haven't seen any numbers or heard any numbers, but it's got to be, you know, just in the millions upon millions of dollars for a sponsor that while they're a really good sponsor, they're not, you know, necessarily one of the big sponsors of the sport. So it does a lot of things for a team, the confidence of the team, the confidence of the people that are working there. And let's give Front Row credit. They've done it the right way. They didn't come in and try to spend a ton of money the first year and then get themselves out of business and be out of the sport, you know, 10 months into this thing. They came in, they said, okay, this is how we're going to build a program. This is how we're going to spend our money that we have to spend or spend our sponsorship that we have to spend. We're not going to overreach ourselves. Does that mean you're going to go out and compete with RCR, Hendrick, Gibbs every week? No, but you know what it does mean is there's weeks where they will compete with them. And maybe it is the the super speedways like what they did at Daytona. Maybe it is the road courses because Michael McDowell is so good on the road courses. Maybe it's a track like Martinsville where things are different. Handling isn't, you know, handling's more important than maybe the aerodynamics of the car and different stuff like that. So I give them a lot of credit for how they've grown this program and how they continue to grow it. And, you know, Michael McDowell, he's a grinder. He has grinded out a career of almost 14 years now. And I assure you, there's times where it hasn't been fun for him, where he's been in equipment that he didn't want to be in, where he's been running in situations where he knew he was going to have to park a race car and didn't want to park it because maybe they didn't have the money to put tires on it or something like that. And that's tough for a driver, but he's continually done that to keep himself out there and keep himself part of the game. And to his credit, you know, last year was his best year in the sport. And this year's already his best year in the sport. I think now we can, with the Daytona 500, we can say hands down this is his best year ever. So so credit to him as well.
Yeah, absolutely on that. And then Christopher Bell, like you said, I think we expected him to win in that 20 car with Joe Gibbs Racing, but not in week two. And it wasn't, I know he only led seven laps, but you know he was around there. He had a good car, good day. This is a kid that I've paid attention to the last few years. What he did in the Xfinity series and before that, he's got it. And I feel like a lot of people feel the same way. But what do you think? And I know it's early on. It's two races into this year. But what do you think the I guess he can do from here now that he's gotten the first win under his belt?
Well, I think the sky's the limit for that team. I mean, and this weekend's going to be a good telltale sign as to what he can do from here. You know, I think that our first mile and a half track, given it's a unique mile and a half track with Homestead, Miami, it's going to really kind of tell us, okay, who's the contenders, who's the pretenders of the first few weeks of the season, right? Because we're going from a speedway, which is a very unique form of racing, to a road course, which is another unique form of racing. Now we get to the meat of the, you know, of the sandwich, if you want to call it that, in terms of Homestead. Then we go to Las Vegas, which is another mile and a half racetrack, and then we go to Phoenix. Those three races are going to really tell the sign. In terms of Christopher Bell himself, again, if you were going to give me racetracks of where I thought he could get his first career win at, the bottom of that list would be the, what is it, five or six road courses that we're running this year.
Yeah.
I think we're running seven total, but we might go to one twice. So, or if it's seven road courses, of the seven road courses, those seven would have been the bottom of the list. So that just tells you, and this is me having watched him, you know, for a number of years in Xfinity. His forte was the ovals. His forte was the ovals that had less grip, that were really slippery, that, you know, that the cars didn't handle good on, where you had to have a lot of car control and driver control. That is where he's special at, in my eyes, which is more similar to a dirt track. And you take and throw him on a road course and he wins on week two. I'm like, holy cow. I mean, I think that opened my eyes for sure. I think it probably opened other people's eyes as well, because we just didn't have him on the radar to do that yet. And I would say nothing will surprise me now with him. If he wins this weekend, it won't surprise me. I just think that the sky's going to be the limit for him because he is that talented. He is an extremely talented race car driver. And, you know, you just never know when you make that transition from Xfinity to Cup. It's such a big transition, and if you're not with one of the super teams, that big transition's even bigger. I mean, it just becomes a massively tough thing to do. So, he appears to be the real deal right now. It's easy to say that now for me to say that now after what happened at Daytona, but certainly he appeared to be that before he got to Cup, and now it's really looking that way.
Regan Smith of Fox NASCAR here with us on Chasing Checkers. And so Chase Elliott finishes second in the 500, dominates the road course, and as you know, you got to run all the laps, things happen, does not get the win, and so his road course streak is snapped. But, and I get it, two races at unique tracks, unique layouts, but we'll see what he does this weekend. But where are you at on his title defense now?
Well, I still think he's the, you know, maybe if not the favorite, he's got to be close to the favorite on the title defense. The team is well-rounded. Chase is well-rounded. He knows how to handle the pressure now because he's already done it once. And quite honestly, Chase is so mellow anyways. I mean, I don't know if he feels pressure at all. His teammates with him for 2 years, and he just, I mean, he doesn't show emotion. He doesn't show pressure. It just doesn't really seem to faze him. I've never seen that out of him. So, you know, I think he's... he's going to be very difficult to beat. And if you look at how that team did it last year, they didn't necessarily do it at the, you know, as we would call them, the cookie cutter racetracks, the mile and a halfs. They did it on the places like Martinsville. They did it on the road courses. They did it on the super speedways. And then they did it on a place like Darlington, which is not a traditional oval track, as we call it, mile and a half oval track. So they've had speed at a variety of different tracks and a variety of different style courses, which, you know, again, that's a sign to me that the driver's on his game, the crew chief's on his game. They've got fast race cars, and you know, they're not lacking for anything. If anything, I actually project Hendrick to, as a team and as a company, to be even better this year than they were last year. You bring in a guy like Kyle Larson, he's going to win some races this year. And if I'm being brutally honest about it, I would just about, you know, put him at the top of the list this weekend, Homestead, to be the guy that I would have my eye on. If I was going to go to Vegas and bet the house, that'd probably be the guy I'd want to bet the house on this weekend.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good one. I mean, we're going to see guys running the wall, and it's a fast track for sure. But you bring up Kyle.
How about this? How about if we get Tyler Reddick and Kyle Larson running the wall, two dirt guys at the end of that race, battling it out for a win? We know how hungry they're both going to be. I mean, that to me would just be a dream scenario.
Oh, I agree with that. I think that would be so much fun. And Tyler Reddick is another one to watch out for. I've been impressed with him so far in his young Cup career. But speaking of those dirt guys, they're actually going to have a chance to run on dirt at Bristol here in a few weeks. You guys will have it on Fox here in our state up in East Tennessee. But they've put dirt on the Bristol Motor Speedway. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure how that's going to turn out. I don't think anybody really knows how that's going to turn out. But how much fun do you think it's going to be?
Well, I don't know how much fun it's going to be. But what you just said is the most intriguing part to me, is I don't know how it's going to turn out. Well, hell, I've been doing this stuff for 20 plus years, and I don't know how it's going to turn out, to be perfectly honest with you. And that, I think that's what the draw to it is. There's going to be guys that have a lot more fun than other guys, right? You get some of the asphalt guys that have never driven dirt in their lives. They might not have a lot of fun. And quite honestly, if I was running it, I probably wouldn't have a lot of fun, because I don't have dirt experience. With all that said, though, it is going to be so incredibly unique. It's going to be so very different. I've seen the pictures of the racetrack, what they've done to it, how they've kind of staggered the dirt up and down across the track. I'm intrigued by it. Now, me personally, I'm going to have to go to school before we get there, because again, as I said, I don't even know how to talk about dirt racing. So I got to learn how to talk about dirt racing and learn how to, like, not say something stupid these guys are going to laugh at me about. But it's going to be one of those events. It's going to be a, you know, must see event. And I don't know if it's something that happens every year beyond this, or if this is a one-off and it works and it's cool and we just, that's it. We only do it once. I don't know. I don't know what the plan is for it. What I do know is I'm intrigued by it.
Yeah, and I think everybody is, and everyone seems to be intrigued by the schedule as a whole, because it's unique. It's different from what they have had the last few years. Like, you know, you go from the super speedway to the road course to a mile and a half. You have a dirt track, the seven road courses, as we said. They're coming to Nashville for the first time in the Cup Series and the first time in about 10 years overall. So what do you think about the layout of the schedule and how the drivers are reacting to it so far?
I think the drivers are reacting fine. I don't really know how they would react, right? I mean, it's they're going to go to a racetrack and they're going to pay them to get in their race car and to drive it faster than the guy next to them. So, you know, at the end of the day, that's the mission of those guys. And you know, I think the more important part is how the fans react to it and what the fans think of it. And my personal opinion, I'm a fan, right? Like, I don't drive anymore. I don't drive anymore every week right now. You never know when I hop in a car just for the hell of it. But as a fan, I like it. I love road racing. Personally, I have just as much fun road racing as I do oval racing, because of the different skill sets that it brings with it. So I'm all for more road courses on the circuit. You know, I think going to different facilities, going to different cities. We haven't been to Nashville in quite some time. I know I used to race there a bunch with the Xfinity and Busch series back in the day, but I can't even tell you the last time that we went to Nashville for a race. It's had to have been 20,
10 years.
I don't know, probably, what was it?
It's been 10 years, yeah, since the last Xfinity race out there.
Yeah, so it's been a long time, and, you know, I think that building excitement about going to new venues and going to areas where maybe people haven't been to see a race in, you know, in 10 years, like Nashville. I'm sure there's people in Nashville that haven't been to a race in 10 years. That's what I'm excited about. And I'm also, I think more than anything, I just like the idea that we're willing to change and we're not going to sit back and just, you know, let's keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. Change is good, and change is going to be good for the whole sport.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's fun to see, as somebody that I've grown up as a race fan, to see it now. I think this is the most excited I have been about a season, just because it's all different and got the new car coming. NASCAR's kind of kept it under wraps and they've had some test sessions, but what are some of your thoughts on the new car that we're going to see next year?
I mean, honestly, Chase, it's not that big of a deal to me. I don't mean that nonchalantly. I know they're making big changes to it and they're doing a lot of stuff, but it's still a race car. It's still, I don't think that when we flip the TV on and we watch that car, you're really going to tell that big of a difference between this car and last year's car. Are the teams going to know big differences? Yes. Are they going to have to set the cars up completely different? Are they going to drive different for the drivers? Absolutely. There's going to be a lot of stuff to learn from that standpoint. But at the end of the day, when the TV turns on Sunday at, 3 o'clock or whatever time the race happens to be, a casual fan that tunes in, the car is going to look about the same. It's going to be way more technology, way more technology in it. It's going to be way more developed. But it's still going to be a similar product on the racetrack. And I think for me, at the end of the day, that's all that really matters. We can get lost in all this stuff, but heck, if I start talking about independent suspensions and springs and shocks and everything like that, well, there's a lot of people that probably aren't even going to care when I were to talk about that stuff. And the people that do care about it, want to know about it, they're going to dig deeper and find out on their own time, and they're going to find out when they need to what's so special about this car. But I think we're still going to go racing next year. I think we're still going to, and I don't mean to like diminish it at all by any means. I just know that there's a lot of talk about it, and my head's completely different about it. It's a race car.
Yeah, for sure. As we wrap this up, you've brought this up a couple times, and you do a great job with Fox Sports. You add a lot, being on the pit lane, but also what these guys are going through in a race. What has the transition been like for you of not driving full time anymore, but being the analyst and being a pit reporter?
Well, I mean, it's been fun because I still get to be a part of the garage and I still get to see all the guys that I've worked with for, 20 plus years and a lot of my friends that are down there in that garage area. I joked about it with Boyer the other day. Actually, it was really tough. The first year that I was on pit road was probably the toughest one, because the Daytona 500 started and I didn't fully realize until that race started. I'm like, oh crap. Like, I'm not out there in a car. I'm getting ready to talk about it and I'm not going to go do it. And I was like, this is weird. And it was honestly the first time going to Daytona that I hadn't driven something in I can't even tell you how long. I think it was probably 15 years that I hadn't gone down there and strapped into a car and driven either some, one series or multiple series. So that year that was like a kick in the face, man. I was stinging from that one just a little bit, but beyond that, I'm to the point now where I'm really happy with what I'm doing. I enjoy the TV side of things and getting to talk about it and try and help people understand maybe things that I might know in a way that's easy to understand for whether it's a casual fan or a serious fan or whatever it may be. I've enjoyed that aspect of everything. And, are there days where I'm like, man, I want to go drive something? Absolutely. I mean, until the day that I die, that's going to be into me. I always joke about it, and I've never done a drug in my life, but I say racing is the worst drug in the world and the most expensive one anyways, because that's exactly what it is. Once you do it, you're hooked on it. Like, you want to keep doing it. You want that adrenaline flow. And, I wouldn't say I'm done driving either. I mean, there's times where things come up and if it makes sense, I hop in it and I go do it. But, full time is a different beast. If you can't do it full time and have the opportunity to win every time you go out in it, then it can be a bit frustrating. And that was kind of where I was at when I made the decision to, try something different, and haven't looked back. I got two little kids at home, and I get to spend more time with them. My little man's actually turning six, and
oh, wow.
Every day he's getting bigger and bigger, and I'm like, I'm glad I get to see these moments and be around these moments, and I still get to go to the racetrack too, so it's worked out perfect.
Yeah. Hey, Steve Letarte's, he's going to be crew chiefing again this week, so I mean, you never know.
Everybody can come off the bench at one point or another. I mean, if Letarte can do it, we can all do it.
Exactly. And you got iRacing, you can do that. I know you did that last year for Boyer, so that was fun as well. But Always enjoy talking to you, Regan. Best of luck, and we'll be watching on Sunday as these guys hit Homestead.
Homestead, big weekend. Put them by the wall. Let them go. It's going to be fun. I appreciate it, Chase, and always love talking to you and your listeners.
Regan Smith, Fox NASCAR pit reporter, analyst. He does a little bit of everything, and we've had him on a few times over the years, and always always enjoy talking to him because of his insight that he can give on a race. And of course, he will be a part of Fox's coverage this weekend. The Cup Series, they get underway on Sunday. You can catch it with Fox Race Day at 2 o'clock Central Time here in Nashville. Fox Race Day, and then coverage of the Dixie Vodka 400 at Homestead starts at 2:30 Central Time on Fox. When we come back, Sunday money, I'll give you the picks. The BetMGM odds, I'll give those to you when we return here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app. Back on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, on the Game Nashville app as well. Chase McCabe here with you. Hey, if you miss any of today's show, Eric Moses, Regan Smith that you just heard, that's okay. You can go to thegamenashville.com. It is there. Or you can subscribe to our podcast. Just search for Chasing Checkers wherever you get your podcasts. We are on Apple, Spotify, Google, everywhere that podcasts are available. Just search Chasing Checkers. And also now on Twitter, at Chasin, C-H-A-S-I-N, underscore checkers. Chasing Checkers was taken, unfortunately. But at Chasin underscore checkers is the Twitter handle. Give that a follow. And I'll be tweeting out race updates and much more. They're going to race this weekend at the Homestead Miami Speedway, the Dixie Vodka 400. The stages for that race, 80, 80, and then 107 to wrap things up in those three stages. As I mentioned earlier in the show, it's been over 70 years since three first-time winners have won in a row. That's the early days of NASCAR, 1949. So they had five first-time winners in a row that year. So be pretty cool if you add another one to the list, even though I don't really think that that's going to happen. I believe that it is going to be an experienced driver because this race is a tough one. You got to run the wall. As you heard Regan say, I mean, they're going to be right up against the wall, rim riding throughout. So I think that you're going to have to watch for some experience to get that one done. Now, I do like Christopher Bell. You know, he knows how to do that. But we'll get to the Sunday money picks in just a second. Denny Hamlin is the defending race winner. Now, remember, this used to be the season finale, but they moved it last year. Phoenix is now the season finale. But when they finally got back going again, Denny Hamlin was the winner. He led 137 laps, his third victory at the Homestead Miami Speedway, and he is the favorite, the betting favorite, according to BetMGM, at plus 500 to win again this weekend. Christopher Bell would be the fourth driver to win two in a row after his first win, so he could join some company if he does that. They're going to have limited fans at the Homestead Miami Speedway there in Florida, so that'll be pretty cool. But another big story from this weekend, Steve Letarte, who is a NASCAR and NBC analyst, he's going back to the pit box for Spire Motorsports. He's going to fill in this weekend for Corey LaJoy. He talked about the decision to get back on the box.
So I'll give my wife credit, whether she wants it or not. You know, obviously there was these challenges that we were trying to work through and coming up with a plan, and she finally came into my office and said, well, what are you working on? I kind of told her, and she was like, why don't you just do it? I mean, that's dumb. Like what just, you know, why are you making this so complicated? And I think that was the nudge I needed. I have mentally removed myself from that role. You know, like I said, I love being on NBC, and everything I do, every conversation I have, every rule I read, everything in my being, every article I read is purely to be an analyst, nothing more. I've never done anything dreaming of becoming a crew chief again. Sam Flood and Jeff Behnke and everyone at NBC put me in amazing opportunities to cover racing. I was just at the Rolex. I mean, it's a dream job. So I had no reason to consider anything else. But this is a rare opportunity. Like I said, and I don't mean to repeat myself, but, you know, this COVID pandemic, this worldwide situation has affected so many people in such an awful way. You know, all I'm really kind of doing is jumping in and kind of doing a favor. Truth be known, I could blame Jeff Dickerson, because years ago I needed a spotter on a last minute, hey, I got to have you. And my buddy Dickerson showed up on Sunday to spot for, I think it was Gordon. It might even have been Dale Jr. a couple times. I've called him in a few times. So I think I'm going to politely tell Dickerson and I we're even after this. So I filled in crew chief. And so all those times he saved me when I needed a spotter, we're gonna call the debt paid.
On the pit box, that is going to be fun to watch. We're almost out of time. Let's get to Sunday Money. All right, I told you the favorite this weekend, Denny Hamlin at +500. My top three, or my three safe bets, according to BetMGM, this is where the odds come from, and then a long shot. Number one, Chase Elliott at +550. Number two, Kyle Larson, +850. He knows how to run the wall, too. I like him. And then Kyle Busch, he's won there several times. Of course, picking up some championships there. +1,000, your long shot. Another guy that you can watch run the wall, Tyler Reddick, +2,500, looking for his first win. And that would go against what I said of looking for experience. He would be a first-time winner if he gets that done. At +2,500, Christopher Bell, last week's winner, also +2,500. That's going to do it for this edition of Chasing Checkers. You know, we had Eric Moses on at the Nashville Super Speedway earlier. Want to thank him, Regan Smith as well. But there's another racing event coming to our city, the Music City Grand Prix. I've been talking about them all week. You can get your three-day passes. They are on sale now, starting at $119. Just go to musiccitygp.com or ticketmaster.com for that. A lot of racing coming to our city. That's going to do it. Enjoy the race weekend. Chase McCabe here with you. Check out the podcast. It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.